Thank you for joining us for Sermons on Demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. We provide these videos as a way to share the pulpit messages and teachings offered at Friendship Grace Brethren Church. If you find these videos a helpful resource, please drop us a note at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com. Now open your Bibles and get ready to dig into the Word of God. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, you are the great and awesome God, and on this day, the day before Christmas, we just think about the sacrifice that you made on our behalf, sending your son to become a dirty diapered baby and to grow into a man so that he could be nailed to a cross. But he didn't stay on the cross, he went into the grave, and he didn't stay in the grave, he came out of the grave victorious over death. So as we think about this Christmas season, remind us that Christmas is preceding Easter. Let us never separate those two. The baby in the manger was the Savior on the cross. So remind us of that and allow us to remind folks around us of that as well. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all that you do for us. And our desire is to always bring you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are in the engagement project, and we're going to see part two. Can you see around me? Okay, part two of tour five, the vision. And then we'll get into some question and answer about this. Any questions, comments before we move on?
It is highly probable that the only real relationship your neighbor will ever have with a Christian is with you. And increasingly so in our culture, odds are that Mrs. Smith, who lives across from you, the only real relationship she would ever have with a Christian family is with your family. Why? Because God placed you right across the street from Mrs. Smith. And he placed Mrs. Smith right across the street from you. Okay, so we will build real relationships with those providentially in our Jerusalem through prayer and action. Let me introduce you to this delightful Lady Joy and how God works through her.
This is the North Highlands area, just outside Sacramento. This used to be a very thriving area, springing from, mostly from McClellan Air Force Base. The base closed, and since the closure, the whole of the community economically was impacted because all the jobs left. I have been living in the vicinity of this area for close to 20 years. I was a part of a ministry, but felt a prompting of the Lord that there was more that we could do to invest ourselves in the community around us. We looked around and noticed that every direction we looked in, there was an apartment complex. I felt I heard the Lord say, "This is the place, and these are the people." When we came to Logan Park, when we knocked on their door and said, "If you would let us, we'd love to come in and do these women's Bible study," and they said to us, "It'd be great to have you come if you would also staff and run the after-school program, women and men, skill development classes, those kinds of things. We would love to have you come." Logan Park was riddled with crime, a lot of gang violence, child prostitution. There was a darkness different than the nighttime. Prayer is the key, I believe, that has gotten us every place that we are.
We pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, send your angels now, God, to surround, oh God, each household.
We prayed for 52 weeks, and at the end, it was like a veil of darkness receded.
In the name of Jesus, we pray for wisdom. Yes. We pray that we do not get ahead of you, and we do not lag behind you, God. And so we lift up households now. households and families, oh God, who would normally go a different way. In the name of Jesus, put them in sync now, God, with your timing. Let them not worry about the things that have passed or worry about what is ahead. Let them rest now. Rest now. And that rest, oh God, will bring peace. Peace into every household. Peace into every household. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
How many weeks did they pray?
52.
There probably isn't anything more important than what we're talking about right now, but if you commit to do this, you have got to be committed to be on your knees and pray. If walls are going to come down, yes, God is going to work through you, but we have got to ask Him to also work in people, to open their eyes. All of the things that God is going to reveal to you about the situations you're in. And these are the practical things, right? We need to pray as a family for opportunities. And let me just, this is kind of a vision thing here, but what would it be like? What would it be like? If in a few years when Asa is now old enough to pray, what would it be like to hear Asa praying, oh, God, please, would you let Mrs. Smith say yes to our invitation to come to dinner? Nobody likes Mrs. Smith, God. She is a bitter old woman. Nobody comes to visit her. God, would you please let her say yes and come to dinner? What do you think will happen in Asa's life when all of a sudden Mrs. Smith says, yes, I'm coming to dinner? And Asa says, wow, this prayer thing works. And it will. I've learned something here. I mean, you're going to say, well, duh. If you ask God for something He wants to do, He's going to do it. And so we're going to pray as a family for those opportunities. We're going to learn their names. I mean, that's a simple thing. We're going to learn their names so we can pray for them by names. We're going to plan to do loving deeds as a family. We're going to plan how can we be kind to someone. We're going to practice hospitality. We're going to open our home and ask people to come in and break bread with us. Or have them come over for movie night, or have them come over for game night, or whatever it is, to have fun together. We're going to build a relationship with them, and it's going to be through prayer and acting upon those prayers. And we will do it with grace and wisdom and truth. There are three key passages that we are going to use and refer to throughout our practical tours together. The first is from Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you might know how to respond to each person. Now, I want, as we read these three verses, I want you to think, is there a tone here? The second one is from 1 Peter 3. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And our third one from 2 Timothy 2, the Lord's servant must gently instruct his opponents in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. What comes across to you?
Gentleness.
Gentleness.
Grace.
Grace. These verses are filled with grace. Your speech will always be with grace. Make it offense, but do it with gentleness and respect. The Lord's servant must gently instruct his opponents. And so we are going to engage, first of all, with grace. And that is what we see in this dear story with Kristen.
By going out front, I was saying to God, "Here I am, Lord. Your will be done. Go before, behind, and beside me into the neighborhood." And that very day, life changed, and I met a neighbor within 3 hours of putting a table out in my front yard. A lot has happened since putting the table out there. There are a handful of women who are now very close friends who I did not know. It has become kind of a gathering place. The neighborhood kids come over. They'll do homework when the weather's pretty. We've had lemonade stands, hot cocoa stands. It's a place where I can meet and have met neighbors who now pop by with coffee and just for 15 minutes. Loving my neighbors has taught me how to love God better. It's drawn me into deeper relationship with Him. You don't need permission or a program to go outside and be who Christ has called you to be. Open up your door and let God do the rest.
Kristen is engaging with grace, and God is blessing, you know, what she's doing. Kristen is just a common folk. So we're going to engage with grace and wisdom and truth, being attractively winsome. Okay, now, what do you suppose would make a neighbor attractively winsome? A neighbor with whom others would be interested in building a relationship. In other words, to say, you know, I really enjoy being around him or her because they are so
happy.
Happy. They're joyful. There's a joy about these people that's attractively winsome to me. They are
kind.
What?
Kind.
Kind. Kindness. Do you know what kindness does? Kindness just, you know, if someone's kind, I want to be around them. Maybe that's selfish, you know, but yeah.
Fun.
They're fun. Yeah, and that's part of the joy, right? They're fun to be around.
Approachable.
They're approachable.
Yeah, most of us have a sign that says stay away.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, so let me give you a list of characteristics that I think you're talking about that would make us attractively winsome. Does love make you attractively winsome? I would love to be around someone who's truly loving, right? Who has a steadfast sacrificial zeal, is seeking my true good. I would like to be around them. Someone who's joyful. What about someone who is at peace? It's easier to see if you look at the opposite. Someone who's patient, as opposed to someone who's impatient. Someone who's patient. Someone who's kind and good. Someone who's faithful. I'd like to be around someone who's faithful and gentle. Someone who has self-control versus someone who has no control at all. Someone who has no control, I don't want to be around them. If someone has self-control, I want to be around them. Do you recognize this list? This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you a troubling question. It troubled me the first time the Lord smacked me up the side of the head with this. What if the fruit of the Holy Spirit was not intended to be primarily for you? For most of my Christian life, I thought the fruit of the Holy Spirit was for me. But you know, if you really begin to think of it, let's, okay, kindness. Well, wait a second. How does kindness good for me? How does How is goodness good for me? Now, I can think maybe peace is good for me and joy makes me feel good, but here's what I want to submit to you. I want to submit to you that God has equipped us with the Spirit of God to make you attractively winsome to other people. You have that. You have all of those things so that we might engage and build a significant relationship with our neighbor, that we might fulfill the royal law. I want to introduce you to Tanya. Oh, I love this lady. What a picture of a woman who just is attractively winsome. Common folk person, she and her husband.
I guess you could say that my family and my husband and I are homebodies. We don't do a whole lot. We go to work, come home, have dinner, get ready for school, get ready for work the next day, go to bed and do it all over again.
Well, some people can say we don't have a lot of people in our circle. We just don't really even have a circle. It's just kind of our family. I don't know a whole lot about the neighborhood. We don't know anybody that lives around us. We haven't introduced ourselves. One of the reasons is fear of rejection. It's just, it is awkward stepping out of your comfort zone. You're not sure how people are going to react. At my church recently, we've been talking about how God wants us to love our neighbor. And I've been thinking about that. I've been praying about it. In prayer, I found peace and some comfort. I think it's a step of faith, you know, on my part to let myself grow. So our homeowners association sent out a newsletter that we're having a community garage sale. Good morning. So we decided to make some breakfast tacos and hand them out. Give them a taco, introduce ourselves, let them know who we are, how long we lived here, and see if maybe we can establish or build a relationship with them. I am surprised that I'm not nervous because it's not something that I would see myself doing that I thought I wanted to do. Hi, good morning.
Omar, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, yeah. Tanya.
We're still
Is this your girl,
out? Yeah.
Well, we wanted to come by and introduce ourselves, take advantage of the community garage sale, and wanted to bring you guys some breakfast tacos.
Oh my goodness, okay. Look at you. Did you make these?
I did.
Uh-oh.
They're still warm. I didn't label them, but I think it's important for us to love our neighbors because that's what, you know, God's created us to do. It pleases God. Hi, I'm Maricela.
Yeah.
Tanya Alvarez. Nice to meet you. Igualmente. Gracias.
Yeah.
If you make friendships or relationships, build relationships, trust comes in, love comes in. You know, only God knows what will develop and how far, you know, it will flourish. I mean, we could potentially be making lifelong friends. Bye, it was nice meeting you guys. Bye, Maricela. Bye-bye.
Take it easy.
It wasn't scary. It was nice. It was easier than it was initially. How I was going to approach them, what was I going to say, it just came naturally. You know, initially it was scary. Now it's becoming more natural, normal.
And I believe it's more natural for a Christian because the Holy Spirit has equipped us for this, to be attractively winsome. And our job is just to not quench it, to not quench Him in doing that. So the Holy Spirit also makes us a people of hope. There are lots of verses here. I'm just going to highlight them for you. You can look them up yourself, but it's amazing. The God of hope, may He fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Through the Spirit, We ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness, the hope of the gospel, the hope of glory, the hope of salvation, the hope of eternal life. We have been born again to a living hope. We are to be a people of hope. And in a land of naught, a remnant in a land of no hope is a land that is thirsty for people who have a hope. Remember our passage in 1 Peter 3:15. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. I've been asking this question of people for years and years, and I said, when was the last time someone asked you for a reason for the hope that is in you? And a lot of times I get kind of this blank stare. Well, I can't remember if anyone's ever asked me that before. And here's one of the reasons. I mean, why would they? I mean, first of all, no one would get in an elevator with you and turn and say, Melissa, why do you have such hope? They wouldn't do that. Why? Because you don't have a relationship with them. And you don't have a deep enough relationship with them that they can observe when you go through tough times so that they can see that you have hope. And second of all, and I don't mean to be rude, because I find myself here as well, we Christians have become so doom and gloom, right? I mean, pardon me for a second, but we have become this, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and we are just the most hopeless, gloomy people. And who would want to be around anyone like that? Now, who would want to be around? Who would want to be around someone like that? You know? Why would they want to be around someone like that? We need to be a people of hope. We will be a people that will tear down walls one brick at a time. We're going to build up trust. Now, what if your neighbor is an unlovable person? Does that mean you don't have to love him? No, we've already talked about that. C.S. Lewis has a great quote. He said, "The rule for all of us is perfectly simple. Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did." So I want to introduce you to Phil. I just love this guy. I met Phil some time ago, and he read this quote to me from C.S. Lewis. In fact, he gave me his book. This is his book, signed by Phil. And then he told me this story about this crusty old neighbor, and here it is.
The second day after I bought the house, my wife joyfully planted a little rock plant, a pot with a plant on the property line. Well, I was thinking that it was our property line next to the sidewalk where we were into the main entrance. The following day, the neighbor comes out. I had not met him, but apparently he saw my wife planting that. And the first thing he said to me, he didn't say, "Hi, neighbor," or anything like that. He said, "I feel upset today." I said, "Yeah, what happened?" He said, "Well, I'm upset at your wife." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, she planted that thing in my property." I said, "No problem, I take care of that." So I went inside and I told my wife, looks like we're going to have problems with my neighbor, you know. I started rereading Lewis, and I came back to that chapter that said, if you have a neighbor that is not agreeable to you, Don't hold any bitterness or resentment against him. Pretend that you love that neighbor. I said to myself, I'm going to put this into practice. I want to see if it works. And every time I saw him, I said, good morning. All the time, how are you? How do you feel? And I kept pretending. I did not love him. Honestly, as a human being, as a Christian, I should love him because that's the commandment. And Louis said, you will discover a secret. You will discover that the more you pretend, it's going to become a reality. So I noticed that he started getting back to me, and until the day that I walked over his property to his garage, he was there, and he was cleaning up the garage. So I instinctively started helping him. He said, Phil, you don't have to do that. I said, don't worry about it. Let me help you. And we finished it up in half the time. So the next door neighbor to him, there was a lady. Shirley, come here. I want to introduce you to the best neighbor we have in our community here. You know, because I always offer my, I said, anything you need, call me. And I got a lot of tools. And I even cut his grass without him knowing. And he was surprised. I discovered that secret, pretending, is an awesome tool to use because you don't stay pretending eventually. Your love for the person comes out. As they respond, you respond too. And that taught me a great lesson. Sometimes I joke about it. I said, listen, I love you, but I was pretending at the beginning, you know. But now I don't know. Of course, I don't say that anymore.
We will build real relationships with those providentially in our Jerusalem through prayer and action, with grace and wisdom and truth being attractively winsome, tearing down walls, building up trust, doing the work of the kingdom. Christian families committed to the shalom of their neighbors, the people of God carrying out the royal law, turning the world upside down, one neighbor at a time. I want to return to this one more time as we close out our tour, because it is so critical, and because I have become absolutely convinced, as we said earlier, this is what God has asked us to do. This is what He wants. And if we begin to ask Him for it, you are going to be absolutely amazed. If we commit to this and pray, asking Him for what He wants, He will amaze you. One more story, and I have tons of these, by the way. I really do. Why? Because God does this. I'm telling you, He does. So I was teaching this, and a lady came up after tour four. And she said, Dale, you don't know what you're asking us to do. And I said, well, I don't know what I'm asking you to do, but it's not me that's asking you to do this. And she said, well, we live across the street. We live up in a rural area, and we live across the street from a woman who hates us. And I said, well, how do you know she hates you? Well, every time she looks at us, she has dagger eyes. She knows that we're Christians, we're involved in a ministry, and she's on the other side of everything. She's on the other side of all of the hot button issues, everything else. Dagger eyes. And I said, well, have you guys asked God for an opportunity to meet with her? Well, no, because, I mean, she, no. And I said, well, if you have not, it's because you've asked not. And so the next time we met, she was waiting for me. And she was all excited. And I was excited too. She said, Dale, you won't believe what happened. And I said, what happened? She said, well, my husband and I were convicted about this. And so we just decided, you know, let's just pray. And, you know, we didn't even know her name. And so we're praying. And my husband said, Lord, give us an opportunity to meet Miss Dagger Eyes. That Friday, there's a knock on the door. which never happens out in this rural area. And we look outside, and guess who it is? It's Miss Dagger Eyes. And she's having this what-to-do Friday night dinner, and she's missing an ingredient. Do you have this ingredient? And she said, and we're going to have coffee together now next week. I'm telling you this. If you commit to this, and you simply pray and ask God, Katie, bar the door. He will give it to you in abundance.
I got this email earlier this week. It says, "Hi, Rich. I just turned on my rig as the net was closing. I got saved at age 26 and am 68 now. When I come down here from Ontario, I'm always blessed when I hear people standing up for Christ. So thank you very much for your comments at the end of the net today. It's wonderful that you can have a salt and light influence on the amateur community here. Hams are great people, but unfortunately too many are headed for a Christless eternity, and sadly, they don't even know it. Keep up your work for the kingdom as we seemingly are living in the last of the last days." You can do it anywhere. It's not just the neighbors right next to you. It might be the neighbor that's next to you at work. It might be the neighbor that you don't even know, Miss Dagger Eyes. You can do it in any place that you are. Earlier on, you know, the question was, who is your neighbor? And, you know, who is our neighbor? How do you answer that question? Our neighbor is anybody that God puts in our path. So whatever outlets you have, wherever you are, there is a place to have a conversation with folks. What's the difference between being winsomely attractive and seeker-sensitive church? What's the difference? Interesting. I did not anticipate so much silence on that question. Because I'm always talking about we're not a seeker-sensitive church. And I don't believe that seeker-sensitive churches are biblical. But I think what Dell is telling us here is very biblical. What's the difference? Go ahead.
The one-on-one nature?
That's part of it, yeah, one-on-one, yeah. Because we're trying to make ourselves attractive. Not in a physical sense, obviously, because I've already lost that boat. But what Bill, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I guess if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you become more attractive to others.
Yeah.
Others go, gee, I wonder what they've got.
Right.
Maybe I should.
Right.
Check that out.
Right. But a seeker-sensitive church, that's not what they are. They've changed the message. They've changed the gospel. They've changed the process to make themselves attractive. That's different than what we're talking about. We're talking about being able to have conversation with folks. What did Peter say? He just read the verse. You know, be ready in season and out of season to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. Those are conversations you have with individuals, that you make yourself available to have those conversations with individuals. I love the part in there as the ladies are going through the neighborhood. My friend Nathan Wells, who runs SeedNet, that's exactly what they do. They were prayer walking. We've done that in Brian and Kate's neighborhood, and we've done it here, and you can do that wherever you are. You can prayer walk anywhere. Or Nancy and Sandy, they prayer cart. They get on the golf cart and drive through their neighborhood talking to folks and just praying. Well, you can do that at work. You can just have that prayer. You know, as you're working, you know, that the Lord would give you opportunities. But you got to do it regularly. And you always got to make yourself available for those conversations. Any questions or comments before we go on to their question and comment time? Okay, let's go.
Okay, we talked about the vision, and I gave you a straw man for you to think about. And again, I would encourage you, if you want to write it in your own words, do so. There's nothing sacred about that. It's not scripture. It's just some practical things. And you met some of my dear friends. Kristen with her picnic table out front. Ed and Mary that learn French and go to Iceland and help everybody in their cul-de-sac with everything, and they know what their needs are. Joy, she and her family prayed 53 weeks to become involved in people's lives. Tanya, who really didn't want to do this, but she did it out of obedience and made breakfast tacos. And now she delights in engaging with her neighbors. And my friend Phil, who, by the way, this next door neighbor and he became deep, deep friends. His neighbor had to move away for something and they still communicate. Okay, anything strike you here that you'd like to talk about or to mention? Any additions, subtractions, deletions?
Paradigm shift.
Pardon me?
Paradigm shift. Total shift in the way I'm starting to see evangelism. The fact that the fruit of the Spirit was intended to be used to attract others just changes everything. Evangelism has a whole new meaning for me right now. Whole new meaning.
That's awesome, Hector. That thrills me to hear that.
Yeah, I've never heard is the fruit of the Spirit, what if it's not for you? It was like, what? I mean, I feel like I've heard more sermons or lectures about like asking what fruit is lacking in my life, and so how do I kind of get that fruit to maybe be a better Christian? But what stuck out to me is when you said the word fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits. It's not like we can pick and choose which ones we're going to work on and which ones we're going to apply and which ones we thrive in. It's like fruit. God wants all of them on display for our neighbor. It was totally paradigm shifting.
And that fruits aren't for the tree.
Yeah.
They're never for the tree. You know, they're for others to pick and to benefit from. So it just makes complete sense. It's not necessarily about our sanctification totally and completely, it's others.
Yeah. It's radical.
Mm-hmm. That's put me in a cocoon. You know, the Lord deals with two befores. I mean, you know, he's just wham, you know, and all of us, and he throws me into this cocoon, and that was one of them, because I thought it was for me. And if I prayed to ask have more in my life, it wasn't for anybody but for me. And that radically changed my life. And the other part of that is what we've been talking about, and that is that you don't have to somehow, you know, squeeze these out somehow. I'm convinced they're there. It is the fruit. All of that fruit is there. But I quench that. And to me, that changed everything. I, you know, instead of somehow trying to gin it up, all I have to do is say, okay, what am I doing that quenches that? If I'm not patient, you know why I'm not patient? Because I have a script that says things should happen this way. And sometimes, Molly, I write a really pious script. You ought to read my script sometimes.
Okay.
I mean, you would say, wow, this is a pious script here. But I put timelines on it. And when it doesn't happen, I get impatient. So Awesome.
You know, the kind of frightening side of that coin is the one of the passages is you judge false prophets by their fruits. Mm-hmm. The bad tree. Is there any wonder that the world looks it up as us and goes, I don't want any stuff from that tree. They talk a lot, but they don't live it.
And I think that's part of, you know, did you like the little hee-haw clip there for those of you who've never seen hee-haw? But I, you know, I look around and I look at myself sometimes and I say, you know what? Who would really ever want to ask me for the reason that hopes that is in me? Because I don't talk as if there's a lot of hope. Yeah, we ought to be the people with the hope, right? I mean, that, we ought to be like honey in a field filled with flies and bees and so forth. So, anything else?
I find that just smiling is really approachable. It makes people more approachable, and it gives a sense of trust instantly.
And you're right, Molly, because I think, and I think again, that's, you know, what do I do that quenches that smile? And when I see someone smile, you know what I think about that person? Here's a person who's joyful. And we were talking earlier about what someone who's joyful is attractive, right? I mean, put a smile on your face. And believe that the smile isn't fake. Why? Because the Spirit of God dwells within you, and the Spirit of God is giving you joy. Don't suppress it. Smile.
I love the picnic thing.
Pardon me?
I love the picnic table thing. I love it. And I'm thinking, okay, how do I do that practically as a mom with little kids? We live on a cul-de-sac. And like I said, we know our neighbors, but they're still kind of dry fest, you know. But when they were little, we have a really big oak tree in the front yard. And so it gives awesome shade in the morning, and we have a great big cottonwood in the back. So they'll play in the back in the afternoon. But there was a time when the kids were younger, they're so old now, but that I was always in the front yard. And always. And so all of my neighbors just congregated at our house. And they were just chatting, no big deal, nothing of anything, except I had a little swing pool in the front yard because the dogs were in the backyard. And I'm like, well, we don't play in the front yard anymore. And now, you know, I mean, they may hear our stuff from the backyard, but we're not interacting the same way. So I'm thinking, okay, so how do we do that in a safe way with streets? You know, but to go back to the front yard. Because, I mean, I love the picnic table thing. It's fantastic.
I love that picnic table. And it immediately got me thinking when we did a couple of bullet points there, and I was thinking you gotta be intentional and strategic, and I thought, well, that's a really good idea. But I was reminded when I first started really being concerned for the people in our neighborhood, there was an old, in my front yard, a friend of mine had dropped off this big old trailer, and he was like, can I park it there for a couple of days? And then, of course, it was like 4 years later, that trailer was still sitting in my yard. But it's a big old steel trailer, but the kids would run over and play on it. There was no parks in our neighborhood, nothing for them to go to. And wherever the kids went, everybody was like, get out of here. And obviously, this thing could be very dangerous, but at that point in my life, I was really concerned about just trying to be generous and be caring for the kids. And of course, naturally, I wanted to make sure they weren't going to get hurt, but God was saying, I'll protect them, just be graceful in this. And so the kids would always be playing on it, jumping on it, and then they would continue to come there, and I was open to allowing them to be there, and it gave me an opportunity to be graceful and gentle and kind and in an area where they didn't see that often. And so it wasn't that I had to be very intentional or very strategic, but I was just open to allowing them to have that opportunity to use that. And in the 5 years that we had the outreach there at our house, we never had to open the first aid kit. And and we have bonfires, and we had very dangerous kids, and there were a lot of fights that we broke up, but it never got to the point where anybody got hurt. And when I met my wife, she was previously in the insurance business, and she was so scared at what was going on at that house. But God really did protect that area just because I was open and I desired, like you said, if we pray to have what God wants to have, He wants to give us that.
And that, you know, that's the thing that we're going to talk about wisdom in our next tour. We need to be wise. There's no doubt about that. We need to be wise. But we need to not be fearful. And to believe that God wants us to do this. You know, I think when you were talking, Liz, I was thinking one of the things that has hurt our culture more than anything is air conditioning and garage doors and backyards and no porches. You know, everything changed. It used to be that, you know, we didn't have air conditioning. We went out on the front porch and we sat there and had our guitar and people come by you know, there was a community going on there. And then pretty soon we got air conditioning and we didn't need a front porch. And now we got our barbecue out in the backyard with a fence around it. And we have a garage door that works with a remote. And we don't have to see anybody, right? So we have to be intentional. You know, we have to make a commitment and to be intentional. That's okay. You know, this is the world we live in. And we will overcome those things. And that's...
Okay. Any questions or comments? There's a little bit more to go on this, but we're running out of time. You can do it anywhere. It's one of the reasons we took that flower bed out from in there and have rocking chairs out there so we can sit on the front porch and see people come by and talk to them and stuff. And so we can push Harper's swing. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for loving us and allowing us to be your children. Thank you for this time of year as we think about Jesus. Remind us of the salvation that we have because of Jesus. And as we've just been talking about how to be winsome to folks around us, to be attractive to folks and to speak up and look to engage in conversations with folks around us. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Give us a great time in the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for watching or listening to this teaching on demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. Please consider sending us an email at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com to let us know how this teaching may have helped you. Please also consider joining us in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, located at 10251 Metro Parkway, Suite 116, Fort Myers, Florida, just south of the intersection of Metro and Colonial Boulevard. Sunday school begins at 9 and worship service at 10 a.m. We look forward to seeing you in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church.